Welcome to Foxcast Physical Therapy, a podcast for clinicians made by clinicians. It's brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm physical therapist Jimmy McKay. On the program, somebody from around the world. I feel like whenever I talk to someone who's far away in a different country, for some reason, we always have to lead off with, what time is it there? So on the show, Meg Lowry. Meg, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So now is the obligatory, where are you recording from and what day and time is it where you are?
It's 10 past 8 on Wednesday, the 4th of July in Brisbane, Australia.
So you can tell with the accent. You guys just have the coolest accents. Meg is a physio from the land down under. The reason we wanted to bring you on the show is because of something pretty revolutionary. You built an app. It's called Clock Yourself. So I guess my first question is for the audience, what is it?
Clock Yourself is an app based on mind-motor exergaming. So basically, it's an app that facilitates people stepping in unanticipated direction using clock face imagined on the floor beneath their feet. So they'll step to 5, 12, 2, 7. And then it builds in some brain games on top of that, dual tasking and additional cognitive skills training.
What does it look like when the user opens it up? There's this clock. Did you pick it because we can all kind of picture a clock and how that relates to us and where we're standing in it?
Yeah. The clock face is such a familiar mental model. In fact, I picked it because I work in geriatric rehab and I worked in a service where we use the clock drawing test all the time as an assessment tool. I learned a lot about the clock drawing test and I learned that it's so familiar that we sometimes can't pick up mild cognitive impairment or even early dementia with the clock drawing test because it's so very familiar that even people with cognitive impairment can still visualize a clock. Like that's how embedded a clock face is in our brain. So it's the most complex map we've already got in our brains that's familiar to everyone with 12 intuitive coordinates.
You sound like you've done some research on this.
I've done a lot of reading on it. Yeah. I mean, I'm a clinician, not a researcher, but I have devoured loads of research on it to make sure that what I'm doing is justifiable and to, you know, just to help to guide the path of my journey.
If I'm a clinician, let's start with the who. Who is this work best for? What types of population? Let's go with age or pathology or who's Clock Yourself for?
Okay, who I built it for is not necessarily only who is using it at the moment. So I'm really surprised about who is using it. But I built it as a simple exergame for older adults and neurological clients who are at risk of falling. And the idea was that Wii Fit, Xbox Kinect, all those Dance Dance Revolution kind of games, they're great. We know that they can reduce falls, but that they're too complex. The screens are too busy. There's too much going on. The pace isn't right for this population. So I wanted something with adjustable pace that has a very clear visual aspect where they just only have to focus on one thing, and that is where their feet are and where they're stepping to. So that's the population I built it for. And the reasoning was that the stepping strategy is really undertrained in this population. So we use balance training a lot. But if a person slips or trips, which is about 50% of falls, the balance skills that we teach them don't really equip them to catch the fall in motion. So the idea is that if they can practice fast steps in unanticipated directions, where it's a large step where they're actually going to be shifting their weight, that volitional step training is what we know through research, that volitional step training can improve somebody's stepping reaction time. So that's the population it's for, people who are probably a little bit too slow to step to catch themselves. Now it's getting used at the other end of the spectrum with athletes. So I'm seeing like really cool elite sports people and their physiotherapists like Bart Dingenen, who's known all over the world for his ACL research. He's teaching Clock Yourself in his lower limb rehab. Wow. And rehab courses and stuff like that. There's like, because it's the speed's adjustable, Jimmy. So like I'm using it at a really slow speed, like 40 steps a minute, 60 steps a minute kind of thing. And they're going up to 110 steps a minute and they're like running on the clock face, doing agility drills, turning around right. And running and bouncing balls. And it just blows my mind when I see that stuff because I'm like, wow, that's not what I expected. Expected it to be useful, but
I think the simple point of why it's kind of it can be applicable in multiple settings is that because it's adjustable. Yeah, you mentioned the Dance Dance Revolution or the Xbox Kinect. Those games are fun because they're games, but as healthcare providers, we want to make it adjustable because it's got to be just right, right? It can't be too hard or our patients, our clients aren't going to be able to keep up and then it's not fun. And if it's too easy, as human beings, we know it's boring and we check out. So as healthcare providers, as PTs, as OTs, as SLPs, we try to make it just hard enough to be difficult to get what we're looking for, which is a benefit. So I like that you've really looked at it and said, hey, I understand why these games are fun. These video games are fun. I need it to be adjustable for the person standing in front of me.
That's absolutely right. And part of it is also that with fast-stepping interventions that have been used in older adult populations or neurological populations in the past, they've used a lot of dancing because dancing is fun, right? And it involves fast steps in all sorts of directions, not so much unanticipated, but, you know, it's still volitional step training. But those studies haven't been proven effective in reducing falls. And the theory behind it is, the reason why they're falling short is that the tempo of the music is sort of preset and it's not going to be the right tempo for that person. So you don't become a faster runner by going for a jog. If you want to become a faster runner, you've got to be working at your limit, just like, you know, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And so with the clock metronome, they could put themselves at their fastest speed, which was safe but challenging, and keep changing it.
Yeah, I like that. Of course, all the evidence-based practitioners in the room are going to be saying, okay, where's the research? I love the fact that when I was briefly looking at your website, which for the people out there is clockyourself.com.au, you really just put your references out there. I love the fact that they're there first and foremost. Why did you include that and put that so in front of the user?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that people don't think I'm someone who's just like pulling this out of thin air. And I just know that it takes a very long time from an idea to be conceptualized for it to actually be studied. And in the meantime, it doesn't seem right for me to just withhold it from the general public because it's very much evidence-based. So I just wanted to show where the B comes from in the EBP. You know, like this is the evidence that I have read and this is how I've synthesized it and this is my rationale. And clinicians are oftentimes trained to be skeptical of that kind of thing. So I wanted to make sure that they could see me as a real person who is smart enough to put this stuff together and they can see what my thought pattern is. Yeah. It's actually really cool because the researchers that have found it, and plenty of researchers have found it and are interested in it now, they don't even second guess it. Like they're just like straight up, they recognize a lot of the things that I've done is based on their work.
Let's put it this way. Scrolling took me a while. My hand kind of got tired just scrolling down the page of all the research that you put out there of where you got this information from. And you broke it down into cognitive decline, research on extra game aiming, research on falls, research on dementia, and really tied that up. You know you've got a lot of references when you've got to color code them based on the major branches that they came from.
I can summarize them for you if you like, like in a nutshell.
Yeah, dig in.
First of all, we know that volitional step training is as effective, if not more effective, than reactive step training in preventing falls. And we know this from a systematic review and meta-analysis published by Akubo, Scherner, and Lord in 2016. Basically, what they did was they looked at perturbation training, which is reactive step training. You knock someone and they, you know, or you put them on a slope and you let them go quickly and they fall. They pulled together data from the reactive step training studies, and then they pulled together data from volitional step training. Now, that just means taking fast steps in unanticipated directions, but not in reaction to a perturbation. So not being pushed around, right? And they, first of all, they pulled them all together and they said, what's the strength of this evidence to train the stepping strategy? And they found that it reduces falls rates in older adults by 50% combined. Now, if you compare that to the systematic reviews on balance training, and I'm an advocate for balance training too. I've published a book called Balance Yourself, and I'm making a balance app at the moment. But if you compare the two, you'll see that the mechanism is not only different, but also the outcomes are quite different. Balance training can reduce falls at best by 39% at this point. So we've got a lot of potential to explore volitional step training. But when they separated the two and they did a subgroup analysis, they found that volitional step training studies were more effective than the perturbation training. And this perturbation training, that requires like harnesses hooked up to the ceiling and like a lot of anxiety around, you know, pushing someone over, right? Instead, they found that it was 49% effective when they just looked at the perturbation training, 57% effective when they just looked at the volitional step training. And those were mostly EXA games. So Xbox Kinect, Dance Dance Revolution, and Nintendo Wii Fit. There was only one of the studies in that pool that wasn't an EXA game. And that was where a person, a clinician, was literally just put some squares on the floor and was telling them left, right, blue, green, up, down. So for me, I was like, well, let's automate this stuff, have an app that tells them 5, 2, 1, 7, or pig, rat, dog, monkey, depending on what level they're playing. And they've got to think on their feet. They have those external prompts so they can use it as a home exercise program, or it can be a station in a balance class. But then also for cognition, and this is like, I'm not going to sell Clock Yourself at this point in time anyway as a dementia prevention intervention, right? But I've got my mum doing it for that purpose, but it's very much evidence-based around the dementia prevention science, but I think that that kind of study is going to take a long time to prove itself. Basically, the idea is new skill learning is important for the prevention of dementia, right? So if you're good at crosswords, pick up Sudoku. If you can play the piano, pick up a guitar. Always embed new neuronal pathways in the brain. So I put a whole heap of variety into it for that purpose, so that people can always change clock faces, add different languages, change the speed, combine different clock faces. So there's so many different ways that they can challenge their brain. When I looked at the research for exergaming for cognition, we know that Sudoku, crosswords, and sedentary brain games don't appear to have value in the prevention of dementia, or if they do, or even enhancing cognition. If they do, the effect is modest at best. But exergames are overwhelmingly proven, like top tier systematic review evidence. They showed that exergaming improves cognition not only in clinical populations, but also in non-clinical populations. So you and me, our cognition, yeah, our cognitive processing speed, our reaction times, and our executive function and memory and attention to some extent can be improved with it. So wow, to me, that's so fascinating. I'm still learning about it and exploring it, but I'm trying to take all that evidence, extract the good stuff, take it to my patients, see what they enjoy, and use them as focus groups, and then just produce an app that might facilitate those cognitive skills at home.
Put it in the hands of clinicians who can have the effects be effective with the patients and clients that therapists are working with. I think that's great.
Yeah, we need repetition, right? Like if we're with someone for an hour a week and we've got a lot to work on, like it's really nice to have something kind of automated that you can trust is going to progress sensibly, you know, that they can get those reps up when they're not always in your presence. Like introduce it to them, make sure they know how to navigate it properly and make sure they're confident with it and safe with it. And then let them go and do it at home 5 minutes a day, you know, and that's where I think we're going to get the value out of it.
Yeah, if I learned one thing from neuro rehabilitation in physical therapy school, it was definitely repetition. So give your patients and clients something that you know that they can do a lot of, because we know that's the single biggest factor that we need to affect is reps, number of reps, make them do it over and over and over again to see the best result. So walk us through the app. When we envision a clock and using the clock, I think we've all kind of maybe done something like that with balance training, you know, maybe doing sliders, you know, anterior, posterior to the side. But you mentioned now kind of a cognitive twist as well, and that is changing what's on the clock to make me think about it and then move to it. What other things can you do to make the clock different that the audience can kind of picture in their head right now while listening?
Okay, so picture a clock face. And picture a pair of feet in the middle of the clock face. And that's on the screen just for orientation. So you know that 12 is in front, 6 is behind, 3 is to your right, 9 is to your left, yeah?
Okay, yep.
At the bronze level, when they press play and they adjust the speed, it will just give them the normal numbers to step to. And they'll keep one foot in the center. So if it says 3, you'll take your right foot, you'll step directly to the right, okay, as large a step as you can handle, shift your weight across to the right and return your foot to the middle waiting for the next number to be called, right? Then it says 11, you're going to go on like this diagonal angle forwards, okay, forwards and a bit to the left, and then you return your foot to the middle. You can speed that up. And that's where you'll get your fastest steps. And I think that's probably the most effective level for falls, because that's when you're going to get your fastest steps. But then you can increase the cognitive load. So that means you can go out of that level, go into the silver level, and you can learn about how to coordinate your upper limb with your steps. So you might go a bicep curl with every step, okay, to time it for that coordination and synchrony. Or you might try to do something really hard. Like you can try this, man. It's really, really hard. Left, right punching with every step. That's hell hard, because you just want to do, like, if you're stepping with the right leg, you want to punch with the right hand. If you step with the left leg, you want to punch with the left hand. But trying to change that and just keep a pattern at the upper body when the lower half is not following a pattern, that is really hard. And so naturally what happens then is that divided attention is happening. And so the upper limb is the lowest common denominator here. So you end up slowing down your stepping speed. And then as you start to crack that code and your brain just like embeds it and just doubles down on the mechanisms that it needs to sort of employ to get you effectively doing that task, it'll speed up again. And you can see that. That's measurable, because the pace of the prompts, the pace of the audio prompts that you step to is measurable in steps per minute. Then you can go into the gold level, and that's where we introduce abstract clock faces. So some of the abstract clock faces are quite intuitive and require no memorization. They just require you tapping into information that's already there. So you know the months of the year, right? So you know that December is 12 and January is 1 and February is 2. So instead of saying 5, 7, 9, it'll say May, July, September. And so they've got to apply abstract reasoning and then apply that to their feet. Going on from that, they can choose like a minutes clock face where 15 is 3, like 15 minutes, right? And 30 is 6 and 55 is 11. So that becomes a bit more abstract. and a bit harder. This is the kind of stuff that starts to get more and more complex, and you don't throw all that at them on the first day. You just show them the easy clock, get their confidence up, build their self-efficacy, and once they're starting to adapt to that and once they're ready for a new challenge, then you go on to this gold level and show them all this cool stuff. Then there's an animal's clock face, which is the animals of the Chinese zodiac. I don't remember which animal is in the Chinese zodiac, right? I don't know which month ox belongs to or dog belongs to, right? So that requires memory. And so what you can do, and this is something that OTs and speeches can facilitate as well, like they can take the app with the client and they can actually practice the memorization or saying, like hearing, receiving and saying these words. So that before they press play, they can actually touch each icon on the clock face. So there'll be a clock face with no numbers. It'll have like a pig at the top and a snake at the bottom, right? And they'll, if they touch the pig, it'll say pig. If they touch the snake, it'll say snake. So they know what the prompts are going to be and they can try to think six slippery snakes or a dozen rashers of bacon or something to attach the animal to the number. And that's a memory activity, right? So there's a bunch of different clock faces, just symbols and things like that, that they can use to challenge their brain in a new way. When they go on then to the platinum level, what they can do is build their own adventure. So they can take different clock faces and they can combine and scramble them. They can create an exercise where they put the animals alongside the months of the year and the normal numbers. So this is like if you're speaking multiple languages in the one conversation, you're doing task switching, rule switching. They might press play and they've combined the numbers, the months of the year and the animals, and it'll be like ox, dragon, November, 4, 2, July, rabbit. So they're switching between tasks. And again, this increases the cognitive load. So the psychomotor speed can be reduced and they'll have to slow down their stepping speed until they get it, until they kind of just crack that code and they conquer that task and then they'll speed it up again.
Right. Yeah. Completely scalable, completely changeable for different people. And look, if you're getting to that level, that's a good sign. Why stop the person? Why not let them keep going and make it harder and harder, right?
The thing is, Jimmy, you don't have to tell them to like get to the fastest speed on bronze level before they can move up a level. That's impossible. I kind of made the fastest speed on bronze level impossible for anyone because right. I wanted it to be suitable for that like high level athlete that gets concussed, you know, that's like got better agility than I do, that gets concussed and they're just trying to get that last 5% back, just trying to speed up their psychomotor speed before they return to elite sports. The goal is not really to get to your absolute, to the absolute fastest level on bronze before you can explore the rest, because you just probably never get there. The goal is to explore new things and stimulate your brain in different ways.
Right. I love how you even mentioned you don't throw that all at them on the first session. You walk them through, you get them really confident to improve their self-efficacy by saying, hey, you can do this. This is easy enough for you to handle. But by the way, next time you come back, once you've mastered it, I'm going to throw something different at you. And that's like the kind of intersection of where fun meets functional to get some gains out of everybody. They don't have to be, you know, they don't have to have a pathology for that to be applicable to them.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw in that systematic review by Emma Stanmore, exergaming improves cognition in non-clinical populations. So you and I can use this or something like this to just keep us on our toes, help us to think on our feet and be more cognitively agile, you know? And I love what the sports people are doing with it, because it's the stuff I never would have thought of. Like they're running and doing things like that, like jumping in different levels and stuff like that. They're just kind of using it for reaction time training and quick change of direction. If that gives them that extra, you know, 5% that they need to be competitive on the field, that's so awesome.
Yeah, you know, that's great. I want to make sure people can get a hold of it. clockyourself.physio or on Twitter at @clock_yourself. And Meg can be reached at @MegLowryPT. That's MEGLOWRYPT on Twitter. The app available, $2 in the app stores. That's right at that sweet spot where, you know, it's totally worth, if you're going to use this more than 3 times, $2 is easy to drop on this.
Made it on Apple and Android. Yeah. And $2 is, you know, if I made it free, it'd have ads in it. And then those ads would just confuse people because they're really hard to shut down as well, you know? So I think it's far, far better to just keep it simple, have it at $2. And then, I think everybody's happy then.
All right. A tradition on the show for Foxcast is your Fox tale. Meg, why did you decide to work with older adults? And even further, why did you decide to create technology to help the older adult population? What about that group really inspires you?
I learned so much from them. And there is so much that I have to offer them as well, because I can be a conduit for information exchange between their world and the modern world. Some are very much living in the modern world now, and some are a little bit more removed from it. I just know that there's so much that we have to offer with the digital things that we have at our fingertips that can make their lives so much better. And it's not just building an app like Clock Yourself, but it's just showing them how they can use a camera on their phone, or how they can access an ebook instead of having to, you know, to catch a bus to the library, for example. So yeah, I really love working with that population, particularly because I feel like their needs are underrepresented in new developments going forwards. And I think that we need to be able to find out what it is that they need from technology and bring it to them and help them to shape it.
You can find out more information about the app we're talking about, clockyourself.physio, on Twitter at @clock_yourself. Meg Lowry from Down Under, appreciate your time. Thanks for talking to clinicians here in the States and around the world on these podcasts about this really, really cool app that thankfully you spent some time and effort and money and got developed.
Thank you so much for having a look at it. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Foxcast Physical Therapy, a clinically excellent podcast. It's brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Listen to other episodes or read articles and position papers at foxrehab.org.